6:30. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. It says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 30. It says, "Moreover, whom he," talking about God, "did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." So the ones he's called, that's people, he's calling everybody to him. But the ones that will come to him, he's called them. But this is the latter part of that verse. It says this: "And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified," talking about the believers in Christ, "them he also glorified." Today, this is what I'm going to talk about today. There's three words I'm going to talk about. It's kind of big words, but it boils down to meaning certain things. One is justification. Two is sanctification. And three is glorification. It's not big. It's bigger words than maybe we used to, but it's not that big. So justification by faith, sanctification by faith, and glorification by faith. Because here we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, it says this: "Whom he called, them he also justified them." That means when he called us, he justified us. And whom he justifies, he also glorified. Now, let me just kind of explain what just... We're going to start out with justification first, because that's part one. It says this: justification is the action of declaring or making righteous in the sight of God. So, is the action of making one right standing in the sight of God. Okay. As far as I know of, in John chapter 3, it talks about when he went, John, in John chapter 3, and the religious man asked how he could get to heaven. That was basically. And he tells him, you need to be born again. And we know that word, being born again. That means accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior inside of us. That means we say, Lord, I believe that you came upon the earth, that you died a death on the cross, and now that you're seated on the right hand of the Father, and you're seated because everything has been completed. The completed work is done. You paid the total price. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he comes in and takes all the things that are inside of us away, as far as the sin part of us. Those things inside of us that we have done in our lives from the time we were born to the time we gave our lives to the Lord, we ask the Father to forgive us of those sins. And he comes in through the blood of Jesus and forgives us because we call upon the name that is above all names. We accept him as our Lord and Savior, and from that time on, we are predestined to enter into heaven, either when we die a physical death upon the earth, or Jesus comes in the rapture and we're taken away. So we are predestined from that time forward, because we gave our lives to the Lord. And we're trying to live for him to the best of our ability. But he comes in and lives in us. in Hebrews, I think it's 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood. And you see, Jesus had to die upon the cross. If there was any other way, he would have done it. You know, we think, well, he had to. There had to be shedding of innocent blood to cover the sins of guilty man. And that shedding of innocent blood is what helps us now today as far as being able to go to him and ask him for forgiveness, the initial part of being born again, accepting him as Lord and Savior, and we are justified. We are in right standing with God. Totally. You might say, well, Pastor, now, okay, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord, but you don't realize there's a lot of other stuff in there. I realize that because there's a lot of other stuff in my heart, too. Everybody's heart. We're not perfect upon the earth, but we are perfect. We are in perfect relationship to him, though. Because we've asked for forgiveness, and the blood covers us, covers that sin, covers that evil that's in our hearts, and he makes us clean before him, and that justifies us. You know, like we've heard, you know, justification means just as if you never sin, and that's correct, because that's what God does. That's what God does. He justifies us before him, the initial accepting him as Lord and Savior. God takes away at that time, God takes away the guilt and penalty for sins and bestows upon the believer, believing sinner, a positive righteousness, even though Jesus Christ himself, in whom the believer now stands forever innocent, uncondemned, and righteous in every point. You might say, Pastor, I didn't realize all of that happened. Can you imagine when you and I gave our hearts to the Lord? We gave him everything which we had in us. We accepted him as Lord and Savior. He justified us, which means the action of declaring, making righteous in the sight of God. And this is it. He declares us not guilty from that point on. He declares us innocent. He declares us uncondemned, and he declares us righteous in every point. See, that's what God sees. You might say, well, Pastor, that's not what I see. I understand that. Because even after we've gotten saved and we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he justifies us. He makes us right before him. He looks at us and he's saying, you're not guilty. It's like a judge. You going in before him, and God the Father is the judge. And Jesus is that lawyer standing on the side of you. And old Slewfoot is on the right side, declaring you guilty of all the things that you have done from the time you were saved, from the time you were born to the time you were saved, whatever amount of years that may have been. And the Father listens to old Slewfoot there on one side, and he looks to his son on the other side. And all his son has to do is stand up, because the blood covers it all. And the Father, being the judge, looks at us and he says, not guilty. And old Slewfoot stands up and says, but he or she did this, and they did that, and they did this. And he has a list. And we're sitting there thinking, we know the list of what he's saying is true. It's truth what he's saying. All the list. And we're starting to put our heads in the cover, saying, I know it's true. But Jesus stands up and he says, but Father, I paid the price for him. I paid the price for her. And now I'm standing in the gap for them. And Lord, look, I have paid the price. And the Father looks at us and he declares us not guilty. Praise God. Not guilty. He releases us. He justifies us. He says we're clean before him, even though we might not feel it all the time. But that's the kind of God that we serve, that declares who we are in him. That's why our faith needs to be in him and him only. Because in him, he declares us not guilty. He declares us not condemned. Because old Slewfoot will come around after even the judgment has been set. And he'll try to bring guilt and condemnation upon us. But it's in whom we believe, in whom we trust, people, that declares us who we truly are in Christ. In Christ. And it's an amazing thing. It says, in whom he justified, them also he glorified. He makes us sons and daughters of the King. He glorifies. Now, justification, everybody kind of understands that? It's just right standing with God, who we are. Who we are. Who we are in Christ, people. Who we are in Christ. We've been justified by the blood of Jesus. He's given us freedom and liberty. He set us free from things. He gives us the strength to go on. He meets all of our financial needs. Praise God. He meets all the spiritual needs that we have in our home and even in our personal lives. As we read the Word of God, God comes in with the Holy Spirit and shows us things that we never saw before. Justified. Not because of anything we have done, people. We always have to realize that. It's all in what Jesus has done upon Calvary's cross in winning the victory and giving us victory in all areas of our lives. Being justified, the initial born-again experience of accepting him as our Lord and Savior. But it also says this, and I'm going to skip sanctification to the end, and there's a reason why. And I want to go to glorification. It says this, in whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8:30. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. Glorification of the believer speaks of a future event that could happen at any time. You know, the glorification of a believer will not happen till the rapture of the church. Won't happen. Because you see, today, if somebody dies today, or, you know, everybody knows someone that has passed away. When they die, their spirit and their soul, that's what makes us inside, the spirit and the soul, those two things live on forever. Forever. There's no dying of it. The spirit and the soul lives on forever. And when someone passes away, or when we pass away, you know, before, if Jesus doesn't come before that, our spirit and our soul will go to heaven where Jesus is today. Okay? Since Jesus died on the cross, he made it available to us to be able to go directly, not to go anywhere else, not to pass go, not to collect 200, none of that stuff, but to go directly to heaven. Directly. Before Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't that way. You might say, well, where did they go? Well, they talk about a place called paradise. That's where godly men and women would go. It was an actual part, if you want to say it this way, an actual part of hell itself. You might say, well, why people couldn't go to heaven? Because the price hadn't been paid. We don't realize how important it was for Jesus to die on that cross. It was for our past life, our present life, and our future life with him. And people could not go into heaven because the price, the remissions of sin hasn't been paid for. And so they would, as people would die, men of old like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and all these men and women, all these great men and women, David. You might say, David, look what he did. I understand. But he was a man after God's own heart. When they died, they would go to a place called paradise, which is like part of hell, but it wasn't the burning side of hell at all. It wasn't the burning side of it. But they would go into that place and they could not be tortured. You know, the spirit, some of the Spirit of the Lord, however, would be there to help them and be with them. But there was a cliff between, a valley, if you want to put it that way, between them and the burning side of hell. And that's when you remember when the rich young ruler died in the Bible. He died and they had this beggar that had sores all over his body. And the rich young ruler asked God if he could, because he was in him, if he could just have him just dip his finger in water, the one with sores all over his body, because they both had passed away. One was the sickly man, not sick anymore, was in heaven, that side, and the rich young ruler was on the other side, and he said, could you please just have him dip his finger in water and just have him put it upon my tongue. Even the craving of thirst is not quenched in hell, people. But it says in 1 Thessalonians, could you put that scripture up, please? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that means death, not just sleeping in the grave. That's not soul sleeping, okay? That's death. That's death. That doesn't, no. When you die, you either go to heaven or hell, whatever. We want heaven. With Jesus, there's heaven, okay? And I'm not saying perfect, because sometimes people say, well, you have to be perfect. No. No one's perfect. That's why Jesus came. We all need a Savior. We all need a Lord. Which sleep in Jesus with God, bring with them. For this we say unto you, that by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Go to the next verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is the initial. We know that Jesus is coming. Glorification of our bodies, of us, will not happen till that time comes. That's when we will put on that glorified body. When Jesus comes, the rapture of the church, we which are alive and remaining, you know, those that are, they say sleep, that are in the grave as far as their soul and their spirit will come back. And they will put on that glorified body, and we will have that glorified body. Then we will go with the Lord and be forever with him in heaven. That's when glorification will take place. But look at this. The amazing thing is this. Look at Romans 8, verse 30. It says this. Romans 8, verse 30. It says, for whom he justified, them he also glorified. He predestined it, people. He said, those that are justified by God will be glorified by me in heaven when I come for them, people. He's saying the future for us. That's how strong the blood of Jesus is. You see, this is the thing. You don't pop in and out of the grace and the mercy of God. You don't pop one day and you're saved and the next day you're not. And the next day you're saved and the next day you're not. Then you're not for a week and you're a week you're saved. That's not with God. God, the blood of Jesus is sustainable. It has paid the price. Once we give our hearts to the Lord, we give our hearts to Him. We are His children. You might say, well, Pastor, can you deny God and still make it to heaven? Well, you know, if you have given your heart to the Lord, you have an interest in God. You want to serve Him. We may not know exactly how sometimes, and we got to study, we got to find out, but God shows us what to do. Now, if somebody gives their heart to the Lord and then turns from Him and says, I do not want you, I deny you, well, they can lose their salvation, definitely. But for the most part, when somebody gives their lives to the Lord and they are justified and they are right before God, God says, those that are justified, them He also glorified. That means He's saying, people, you've been saved in whatever year and date and time. When I come again, you will be glorified. He's saying, you're coming with me. You're coming with me. It's not like He's saying, well, I hope you make it, or maybe so. No, He's saying, you will make it. You will be glorified. It will open up to you. And God will change our bodies, and we will be with Him forever in eternity. And then a lot of other stuff happens. Glorified by the by God's Spirit, God's anointing, and God's presence. His glorification is both complete and certain in the divine counsels. So here we see, when we're born again, we're justified. We're made right before God, huh? That's number one. Number two, we skipped. Sanctification. Number three, glorification. Number one, we gave our hearts to the Lord. We're right before Him. We're righteous before Him. The blood of Jesus cleanses our souls and our hearts. And the third one, glorification. When He comes again, we're going to take on the glorified bodies, people. Can you imagine? My God, to be with God forever, that He predestined it from the time we gave our hearts to the Lord. He said, you will be glorified. It's coming. It may be rough from 1 to 3. Huh? Because we're all in the 2 section here, basically. And it's not easy sometimes. But we've gone from 1 justification. Now we're going to talk about sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart exclusively unto the Lord. We are all in the sanctification part of our lives in Christ. Now let me kind of explain this to you. In this second part, we gave our hearts to the Lord. And we're right before Him. But from the time He comes back for us, we know there are things in our hearts that may not be 100% correct with Him. As far as Him cleaning us up. And even from 1 to 3, we're living life, and sometimes we go through things and we make some bad decisions, huh? And we may do some things that aren't correct. And we need a God that can sanctify us. And He is the sanctifier. This is maybe where the dividing road of a victorious life in Christ and a non-victorious life in Christ takes place. Because you see, this is the middle ground. God has sanctified us and made us right before Him. Now we're in the process of being sanctified, which means God is cleaning us up continuously every day. Every day. Till He comes back again. Either we die or He comes back in the rapture. And you know, and that's And that's the hardest process, is in that middle section. Because, you know, every one of us have our things that we may like or dislike in us. We all have our ways, if you want to put it that way. And we all have things that we know that may not be right with God. And we know it. And we go to God and we ask Him to forgive us. And God is in that middle part of sanctification to clean us up. And sometimes we may turn to things that will not satisfy that part of God's Holy Spirit cleaning us up. Because you see, it's the Holy Spirit that is working. Oh, it's like, you know, somebody, you know, has a big pot and they're just turning it. Whatever's being cooked. And when they turn it, you know, it makes like, you know, a little funnel. And everything comes up, you know. And there's the funnel there. And God is in the process of cleaning us up. And I know, you know, we think maybe we've made it to the pinnacle part of our lives. Some of us, you know, we all kind of know. But no one has arrived. And not at all. And God is in that place of, in that middle of cleaning us up, people. And you know what? We know oftentimes, you know, as a church maybe, or even just as the religious people, if you want to say it that way, or Christians, we may look at certain things and say, well, that's worse than this, and that's worse than that. But to God, sin is sin, people. Sin is sin. It's evil in the sight of God. But God has made a way for each and every person to gain victory in their hearts and in their lives. Everyone. Everyone. Doesn't matter if they are a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. It's on all the same leveling field for everybody. Everyone. Everyone. And a lot of times we've looked at, you know, well, just as Christians, you know, maybe we've looked at certain things that we could do to clean ourselves up. And that's a human part of our lives. We've given our hearts to the Lord. We've been justified by grace unto God. He loves us. We know we're going to be glorified and God's going to come and get us one day. He's coming. But we're in that middle part and we're thinking, well, you know, maybe I can do it myself. Maybe I can clean myself up. And so we do certain Christian duties, which are great in itself. But they do not clean us up. They're great, though. We need to do all our Christian etiquettes, you know, of things. And you might say, well, what are they? Well, you know, God wants us to read that Bible that you have on your lap. That's food for our soul and our spirit. But you know what? The reading of God's Word will not gain you victory over sin. That word will point you in the right direction, which is the cross of Calvary. You know, I could take my Bible, and if, you know, in studying it and whatever, and I can get up maybe, you know, one day and just start quoting scriptures to you, and just on it. And, you know, everybody in here, y'all know scriptures. Y'all know the Word of God. And, you know, I can start in Genesis 1:1 to Revelations and just start quoting the scriptures and just, but that will not help me gain victory over evil or sin in my heart and life. Now, it will bless me. It will do something inside of me as far as build me up, because the Word of God builds people up. It does that. I could fast till I was as thin as a rail with food. But that would not, nobody wants to fast. Don't use that word. That's a, That's a bad word in the Christian life.
No.
But we can fast till we're as thin as a rail. But I tell you, it will not help us to gain victory over sin. We can do all that. We can come to church every day of our lives, which church is important. Fasting is important. We need to do those things as the Spirit of God leads us. Reading our Bibles, we need to do those things. Those are Christian etiquettes that God puts in the Word of God for us to do as Christians because we love Him. But to gain victory in every aspect of our lives, we have to put our full faith in Christ and what He's done at Calvary's cross. Amen. That's it. You know, not everybody can fast, just medically, huh? I mean, you know, because of certain sicknesses and whatever. You know, if I got up here one Sunday and said, okay, now we're having a church fast. You know, we're only going to have liquids for the next month. Y'all all turn to me and say, oh my God. We'll see you next month. You know why? Because most of us, including myself, probably couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Could not do it. If I said, okay, within the next 6 months, every one of us, I want you to start in Genesis and end in Revelation. I want you to read that whole Bible in 6 months. Some probably could do it, but a lot couldn't because of work and everything else. I mean, it's just time-wise. You have to sleep. You have to get your housework done. You got to do certain things. So you can't read, you know, you read every day, but you can't read that much every day. See, when man starts to tell us how to gain victory, it always leads somebody out. But God is saying this, every one of us, because of not what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross, we can look to Him through sanctification process. As we trust in Him, we can look to Him and go to Him and say, Father, you see this thing in my heart and in my life that is not right with you. He knows, and we know it. We ask forgiveness. We ask forgiveness, and we ask forgiveness. But we also know this, there's no guilt in God. God has taken that guilt out of our lives. That we trust in the cross, in what, not in the wooden thing that we think of, and that's, but that's, I know that's what we think of, because that's the cross. But we trust in what Jesus' action, what He did at the cross. Let me tell you this. Every price was paid for everything in our lives to gain victory over it. God is expecting this, to be justified by faith. We gave our hearts to the Lord, and sanctification starts to work in us. The moving of the Holy Ghost inside of our lives. And He's expecting us to gain victory, to gain victory, to gain victory. And as human beings, we know we can't do it all in one day. It takes a process of time where God moves in us and moves in us. Till when He comes again, we are glorified by grace, putting on that glorified body. Praise God. But looking to Him to be the sanctifier, not ourselves. And as we look to Him, the Holy Spirit starts to be leashed out, people, upon our lives, giving us strength, the ability, and the power. Because it's like this. We sit down. And we say, Father, You're in control of this situation. And we let our big brother fight for us. He's already won. But He's fighting for us on the inside. Saying, get it. Get it. You might say, well, Pastor, I've gone to Him and I've said, Lord, I trust in You. I trust in You. Trust in that cross. And if you fail, get on your knees or whatever it is and just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Get up. Get up. and get up. And remember, when you get up, you're justified again. Remember, when you get up, God starts the sanctification process again to clean us up, to get us into what He wants us to be, which is the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, to be like Him. You're not to be like me. I am not to be like you. We are to be like the Father through the Son, His Son who paid the price. We're to be like Him. He loves us. He cares about us. And He's made a way that we could have victory over all the evils in our lives. He has given us victory. He has given you victory. That you don't have to be fearful. He can give you victory over that. He can give you victory over all the things of this world that entangles men and women and tries to destroy them with the evils of this world. And we know what they are, all kinds of stuff. But our God has made an exit door. And the only exit door has not been made by man. Has not been instituted by man either. Instituted by the Father. Before the foundations of the earth were even formed. Said, I'll make a way out for my people. Can you imagine that? Isn't that love towards us? That the Father would make a way even before man was created, because He knew what would happen. That He made a way. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned and the sin nature came into them, and that's a whole other sermon itself, because they didn't have that in them. We were made in the image of God, the Holy Spirit. When they fell before God and did the evil, God didn't hurry up and say, Jesus, what are we going to do? And they both turned to the Holy Spirit and said, what are we going to do? We don't know. We better have a meeting. And hurry up and have a meeting and decide, point one, two, and three, what we're going to do. No, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit knew what would happen and made a way for mankind to be broken of evil and to be set free. See, you don't have to be tormented in your mind. You don't have to be. Trust Him. Just look to Him. You might say, well, yeah, but it happens over and over. That's okay. But you keep turning to Him. And you're gaining strength on the inside. And something is happening. Something is happening on the inside of us. You might say, well, I failed yesterday, but I passed yesterday. That's okay. You just keep on going no matter what. And you trust in what Jesus has done. Because He is the author and finisher of our faith. It is He who goes before us and makes a way that's right before us. He takes those crooked places and makes it right. He takes the mess of our lives, and makes it okay as we trust in Him. He sanctifies us. Put your faith in the cross of Calvary and nothing else. I might say, well, Pastor, can I put it in this or that? Zero else. Well, can I put it in this? Zero. Can I put it in something else? Zero. Put it in Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. And let me tell you, when you do that, that's exactly God's prescribed order of victory in our lives for the human race. As we do that, you're going to see the power of the Holy Ghost move like you've never seen Him move before. You're going to see Him move upon your personal self. You're going to see Him move upon your family. You're going to see Him move in areas that you never thought were possible. Just because you're trusting Him. And as you trust in Him, He leashes out that Holy Spirit and He moves and gets His will done upon the earth. We have to look to Him and to Him only. You know how they have, you know, the guys that take the knives and they throw at the balloons? And they have, you know, either a lady or somebody that could be standing there, and they have balloons all here. You know, it's professional, not just anybody. And they take that knife and they throw it. You know, we don't know if it's real or not, but whatever. And we're hoping that they hit the balloon, huh? And not the person in the middle. And nobody wants to be the person in the middle. If I want to hit that balloon, I have to take that knife and aim it towards that balloon and know exactly how to throw it with the right amount of force and to penetrate that balloon in the right place for it to pop. That's God. In order to have victory in our lives in every area, we have to follow the prescribed order that He has set for the human race to have victory as His church. And in doing that, as we trust in what He did, and we every morning or every, whatever, do say, Father, I trust in You and what You've done at Calvary's cross. As we do that, He takes those knives and He throws it at those balloons that are holding us captive. And He pops them. Could be fear, and He blows it away. Could be other things, whatever it may be. And He breaks those chains. Might say, well, will it happen overnight? It could, but it may not. But you keep putting your faith in Him and what He's done. And let me tell you, if it doesn't happen overnight, it'll happen the next day or the next 6 months or the next year. And I know we like to do it like McDonald's and Burger King and Sonic and all these places. We drive up, we press a button, whatever. We give an order and they better have it out in 5 minutes or we're going or complaining. We have to be patient because it's not God that's determining the victory when we have it. It's us. The price has been paid already. God has given us the way to do it. All we got to do is trust in Him. And everybody can do it, from the youngest of kids to the oldest can do it. No one is left out. No one. No one. You want to know why the church in general has been decimated? And we've seen evils around the world? It's because their trust wasn't in Christ and what He's done at Calvary's cross. And the enemy came in and has destroyed parts of God's church. And has done some evil. But it's not that God didn't give us the way. So this is what we do. We turn to the bullseye. And we say, Father, thank You. We give Him those things that are weighing us down. And we ask Him for victory. And we trust and have faith in Him to do it. And in the meantime, we read our Bibles. We go to church. We pray. We seek God. We do all those things. But our trust is not in those things. Our trust is in Him and Him only. We do it because we love Him. We do it not to gain anything from Him. But we do it because we trust in Him. Amen. You may stand, please. Jesus. Father, we give You thanks, praise, and honor, Lord God Almighty. Father, we give You praise and honor, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit, Lord God Almighty. As every head is bowed and no one's looking around, please, no one looking around, close your eyes. I know I talked a lot, quite a bit, about the sanctification process of the Holy Spirit. I don't know where you stand in your relationship to the Lord. But I'd like to pray with you collectively. If you're going through something, you're saying, Father, I need help. I need victory in whatever area it may be. Would you just please raise your hand and we'll pray with you together. I see your hand. I see your hand back there. I see your hand. I see your hand. 4, 6. Anyone else? 7, 8. Anyone else? Some victory. You're saying, Lord, I see your hand. Thank you. 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 Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. 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 If you've raised your hands, just as no one's looking around, I want you to raise both of your hands. I want to pray with you, okay? If you raised your hands before, just raise your hands. Come on, people. We need God to minister to us this day. Father, Lord, you see these people. Their hands are raised in a surrender to you. Lord God, they're looking to you and you only. And you see those areas, Lord God, that need to be worked on by you. That victory needs to come in, Lord God, in their lives. Father, they put their faith in you and you alone, Lord God, in what you've done at Calvary's cross. And Lord God, I pray that victory will come, Lord God, to every one of them. Lord, that they will seek you like never before, Father, as they put their faith in you, that the Holy Spirit will come upon them and you will help them in those areas, Lord God. And when maybe they're tempted to do something that's not right, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will come in and you will strengthen them and you will lead them and you will make a way out for them, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you would take the desires out that are not right, Father, in Jesus' name. Because Father, these are your children. They have been justified by you. They're waiting on your coming, Lord God. But Father, they need to live a victorious life in you this day, Lord God. Help them to be victorious, Lord. In Jesus' name. But Father, I pray the Spirit of God to fall upon them, to be upon their minds, their spirits, their souls, and their bodies, Lord God. Move upon their lives like never before, Father. And Father, if they fail, help them to get up right away, Lord God, to call upon you, because you have justified them by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we look to no one else. We look to nothing else but the cross of Calvary through the blood of Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory this day, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Also, before, I need to ask this to make sure. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your life to him today, would you please raise your hand this morning and give your life to him? He's not asking you to be perfect. He's come for imperfect people like us. We're a mess and we need God to clean us up. We are. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. Just making sure. I see your hand back there. I see your hand. I see your hand. Amen. 4. Amen. Anyone else? I just make sure. Amen. Let's pray this prayer together. And if you would, pray this prayer with me, okay? As 3 or 4 people have raised their hands. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. Lead me and guide me. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you are my God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Otis, would you come on up? would you close us in prayer?
Oh, let me put you on.
Thank you. He's going to close us in prayer today.
Father God, as we leave today, Lord, guide us through the highways and byways. Keep us safe and in your bosom, Lord. Keep your hand of protection over each and every one of us. Guide us through our walk through the week, that we would walk in your word, Lord, that we can walk with you walking up by our side, Lord, that you would keep us safe. Help each and every one of us touch another person this week, Lord, in your name, that we can fill their lives with your word, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.